Genesis tonight. If you have your Bibles, the book of Genesis, chapter number 37. Amen. One verse of scripture, then I'm going to skip over to 39. Hallelujah. 37, all the way down there, 36. Last verse of that chapter. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, and the captain of the guard. Amen. It wasn't just by chance that Joseph ended up here in the hand of Potiphar. Right. Hallelujah. But I believe it was divine providence of God. Don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. Skip over right there in chapter 39, starting there at verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Verse number 2, and the Lord was with Joseph.
Yes.
Yes.
And he was prosperous. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Verse 5, and it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. I love this.
Yes.
And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field.
All right.
And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse number 2, where I'm going to take my text from tonight. And the Lord was with Joseph.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. And the Lord was with Joseph. Hallelujah. Joseph had been sold to some Ishmaelite merchants. Amen. For less than the price of a slave. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The price, if you will, of a crippled slave. Amen. His brothers sold him. Amen. To these Ishmaelite slave traders. Hallelujah. Amen. Imagine with me for just a moment that you're Joseph and you're 17 years old. You are the favored son of the family. Your father had chosen you to be the head of the family. He had given you, amen, a beautiful robe to symbolize that, his coat of many colors. You're on the path to power, influence, and prominence. Amen. Is it in your family? Then in a moment of time, everything is gone. Amen.
Yeah.
You are stripped of your coat. You are betrayed by the people that you thought loved you. You are separated from your father. You are sold as a slave, carried off into a strange land. Imagine the humility, amen, of going through all that Joseph had gone through. Even, amen, this slave auction that eventually takes place. Amen. In many ways, you are just a simple country boy, amen, from an unsophisticated family, and you find yourself transported to the capital city of the world,
yeah,
amen, an advanced nation at that. Imagine how Joseph must have felt, amen, when he popped over that final hill and he saw the splendorous lights of Egypt. And he looked over there and saw those great pyramids. Yeah, the pyramids were there in Joseph's day. That's how long the pyramids, amen, have been around. Can you imagine Joseph growing up in the sticks, amen, coming down here to Egypt into this capital city of all the world, seeing all the flashy, shiny lights, amen, wondering what in the world is going on in my life right now, amen. Have you ever been there?
Come on.
Have you ever been to the place where you thought, why in the world does everything seem upside down? Amen.
Come on now.
Hey God. It may have appeared that all of Joseph's dreams had been shattered. Amen. But the God who gave those dreams to Joseph was still at work in his life. Amen. Oh yes, sir. I'd like to tell you tonight, when life doesn't make sense, I want you to understand that God is still at the helm of things. Amen. Have you ever been? We've all been there. We've all been to the place in life, amen, where we thought, God, I don't understand what you're doing. Amen. And that's where Joseph was in my text right here tonight. Amen. His life had been thrown upside down. Look at him. I mean, he was the favored son of the family. Now he's a slave. Amen. Great God. He was the chosen one to lead the family one day. Now it looked as though everything that he had ever hoped for, that there was no chance that it was ever going to come to pass. Amen. Oh, yes. But there was a verse number 2. I love it. And the Lord was with Joseph. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I got 3 short points I'd like to preach to us here tonight. God is always with his people to see them through their trials. Amen. To accomplish God's plan in your life. Yes, that's right. Whether you believe it or not, there has to be a trial to get the plan of God accomplished in your life. Amen. Nothing of God comes freely, amen. Nothing of God comes without any opposition. Many times we feel like, why is things so hard? Why does things seem so out of whack, amen? Many times we feel like, oh God, you have to be 1,000 miles from here, but it's just the opposite. Joseph's life at this moment was a whirlwind, but the Bible said that God was still with Joseph. Amen. Hallelujah. It becomes clear. Amen. My first point tonight, that God had his protected hand upon the life of Joseph. And God was watching over him. Joseph was in the hand of divine providence. Oh yes. Too many things happened. Not just by coincidence, but because of God. You can look back real quick. Amen. Maybe jot these down. Look at them in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, verse number 21 and 22. The brothers were going to kill him. Amen. Yeah. They said, let's get rid of him. We won't have to worry about him no more. But just by chance, no. Amen. Reuben stood up and said, let's don't kill him. Let's don't be guilty. Amen. Of innocent blood. Amen. And just by chance, listen to this. Amen. Judah steps up and said, I tell you what we can do. Let's just sell him. Amen. Let's just get rid of him. And while they were talking about this, all of a sudden here comes some Ishmaelite slave traders. And the Lord was with Joseph. Glory to God. So here comes some Ishmaelite slave traders on their way to Egypt. They had been out looking for slaves to sell. Amen. Over in Egypt's land. Great God. So they bought him for a price of a crippled slave. And they haul him down to Egypt. And down there in Egypt at the, amen, auctioneer, if you will. There he was. And it just once again was the providence of God, Brother Chuck. You tell me how God planned this. God had a plan for the life of Joseph. Joseph would one day, really, if you will, rule the world and see to it that the world would not starve to death.
Right.
And God had to get Joseph where he needed him to be. So it wasn't just anybody that bought Joseph at that auction block. Oh no, but it was Potiphar, amen, captain of the guard. He was next to Pharaoh. He was a very prominent man over all of Egypt. And God put Joseph in the right place at the right time. And I know you don't want to hear it. Amen. But when life don't make sense, and when life looks like it's upside down, I come to tell you many times, you're right where you need to be. Hey, God, you're right where God has placed you for such a time as this. Hey, God. God set everything up just like it needed to be so that Joseph would arrive exactly where he needed.
needed to be exactly when he needed to be there. Isn't that just like God? I said, it's just like God. Joseph might have been a slave, but he was safe in the arms of God. He might have been separated from his earthly father, but he was right in the hands of his heavenly father. Hey, God, hey, I come to tell us God had his protective hand upon the life of Joseph. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Woo! Amen.
His brothers wanted rid of him and his dreams. The Ishmaelites were just out for a prophet. Potiphar was out looking for a good deal on a slave. Amen. Oh, yeah. What they could not see was, amen, that the hand of God was behind wicked men. Now, I'm getting ready to tell you something that'll make your eye teeth chatter. Amen. Hey, God can use sinful men to accomplish his will. Did you hear that?
I believe it.
Hey, God, that'll chatter your teeth. Amen.
Come on.
I said, God can use sinful men to accomplish his will. Amen.
Sure.
Oh, yes. He's did it numerous times through the years. While the events of Joseph's life appear out of control, they were actually very, very well controlled by the hand of God. Amen. Oh, yes. You see, Joseph was being protected by God himself. Amen.
Yeah.
It looked like Joseph. Amen, Brother Anthony was in a strange city, in a strange land, among strange people. And if his parents back home had known where he was, they'd have been very worried and upset. But I come to tell him, he was in a lot better hands than laying in his bed at home. He was in the hands of God. Hey, God, amen, that is the greatest place you can ever be. Right smack dab in the will of God.
Woo!
Did you hear me tonight? There's no sweeter place to be than in the will of God. There's no greater place to be than right where God has placed and put you. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Woo! 39:2. Bible said, and the Lord was with Joseph.
Yeah.
And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Amen. Oh, yes. Great God in heaven. Oh, I come to tell you. Amen. He will watch over me and you with his presence. Amen. Brother John, here just a moment. Give me Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29 and verse number 11. Great God. Brother Tommy, give me real quick Matthew, if you will. 28 and 20. Amen. But the Bible says, amen, in Hebrews 13 and 5, God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Right.
Hey, God. Amen. Did you hear me here tonight, church? He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Hey, I don't really know why I'm preaching this. Amen, right here tonight. That's what I felt on my heart back there. Hey, God. He said, I'll never leave you. When the devil says that God's a million miles away from you, I want you to shout it in the mouth of the enemy's territory. God said, hey, he ain't gonna leave me. He ain't gonna forsake me. I might be in a place that I don't understand, but God knows just where I'm at. God knows, amen, just how to turn it around. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew 28:20.
Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
What did he say? Yes. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. I come to tell somebody tonight, I don't care how much of God you feel or how less of God you feel. If you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you've knelt in an altar of prayer and asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins. I don't care, amen, if you ain't felt God in a week. I don't care if you ain't felt God in a month. He said, oh, I'm with you even to the end of the world. I come to tell you, God's right by your side. I said, he's right by your side. God. Amen. Hallelujah. I told it to a threadbare. And I remember when I was a young Christian, about 14 years old, Brother Tom, I just got saved. And in our church, man, they ran all the time like we're doing this morning. Man, they ran. And I'll never forget the first time I took off a running and hollering like an Indian. That's the way they did it. So when I took off for the first time, I did it like they and it took off a running.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Amen. But anyway, as this fellow over from Richlands, Brother Randy Webb was holding us a weekend meeting, Brother Chuck. And he had this little fella with him playing the guitar and singing one night. And that guy, you notice I'd just been saved probably 6 months or less. Amen. Maybe longer, I'm not sure. Been saved a while, but I know this, I hadn't hit no rocks in the road yet.
Yeah.
It was all high territory.
Yeah.
I was running, shouting, feeling good every night, all the time. I couldn't understand why everybody didn't want to be a Christian, but it was.
Yeah. Sure.
Had his guitar, and he was all kicked back saying, well, and he said, I come to tell church up here tonight. He said, I've been going through one of the hardest trials that I've ever went through. He said, I've been going through one of the hardest times in my life. He said, the devil's told me I'm not even saved. He said, I ain't felt God so long, I'm beginning to wonder if I am saved.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand. I thought that guy had lost his rocker, amen. I thought that guy had flipped his lid. Because I'm feeling God every day, running every night.
Come on.
Having the time of my life, amen. But oh, Brother George, the Lord put me there in that service to hear that guy that night, because it wasn't a matter of weeks. Amen. The first major battle of my Christian walk hit me square in the face. Oh, yes. It knocked me off my rocker and it flipped my lid. And I didn't feel God. And I wondered if I was saved.
Come on.
Amen. I was praying one night. I said, oh, God, it's the hardest time that I ever been through. And the Lord took me back to that guy strumming that guitar and said, remember that fella? Amen. Strumming that guitar, said he hadn't felt me. He had been going through a hard time in his life. But he said, I'm still going to serve God. I ain't telling him, I can't see him. But I'm walking by faith. I'm going to keep on marching on. And the Lord said, you keep marching on, whether you feel me or not, whether you feel like running the aisles and shouting,
come on,
the backs of the pews or not, you keep on running. And that's what I did, Brother Chuck. And I've been running ever since. And I've been going ever since. Do you always feel like high on the mountain? No. Do you always feel like preaching? No. Do you always feel like praying and reading? No. But I tell you, Brother Tommy, I've made my mind up. I'm going to serve God on the mountain. I'm going to serve God in the valley. I'm going to serve God when I'm shouting and feel His presence. And I'm going to serve God when I'm down in Egypt.
Hey, nobody
knows where I'm at, but God, make your mind up, church. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. I don't care where.
Come on.
Yes, God will be with you.
Woo!
Right. Woo!
Hallelujah!
Praise God!
Jesus!
Great God! Great God!
Amen.
God's purpose in your trials is not to harm us, Brother John, but it's develop us, to develop us.
Sure.
That's what the purpose of the trial is.
That's right.
Tell us what Jeremiah 29:11 says.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you.
Wait till God said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you.
Yeah.
Saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Not of evil.
To
give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you.
Woo.
And you shall seek me.
Hallelujah.
You shall find me, and you shall search for me with all your heart.
Yes. He said, you seek and you search, and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart.
Woo.
Hallelujah. How many seek and put a Lord with all of their heart? Woo! Hey, God's got a purpose for the trial. Amen. Not only did God protect Joseph in the trial, but God prospered Joseph in the trial. He no longer had his coat of many colors. Oh, no. He may have lost his coat, but he still had his character very much intact. His authority authority did not come from that coat. His authority came from God Almighty. Amen. When Joseph lost his coat, he lost nothing that made him a great man. Joseph's greatness didn't come from his clothes. No, Joseph's greatness came from his character and from his deep devoted heart. Joseph made his mind up. I'm going to serve God in daddy's house. I'm going to serve God in the church where everybody sees me. And I'm going to serve God down in Egypt. Amen. A picture of the world. Listen to me. I'm going to serve God down in Egypt. Down in that worldly place where nobody serves God. He could have turned to their paganistic gods. He could have turned to the ways of the world. But no. He said, I'm going to serve my God. Hey, I'm going to serve God down in Egypt where nobody lives right, where nobody serves God. I'm still going to serve the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You can serve God when nobody else does.
Amen.
Well, tell me, Brother Jason, how you know?
I'm glad you asked.
Bless
you. The Bible said Enoch walked with God and Enoch was not because God took him. Amen. You know, Enoch walked with God. What was it, 350 years, Brother George? And he walked with God, and he walked with God. And the Bible said it was not because God took him. One day, he got to walking so close to God's house, God said, Enoch, you're closer to my house than you are yours. Why don't you come on over? Hallelujah. And the Bible said, Enoch was not, amen, for God took him. Well, that's all fine and dandy, Brother Jeff. But what's that mean with me? I'll tell you what it means. The Bible said that in Enoch's day, that it repented God that he ever made man, because man's heart was continually evil. Hey God, there was sin all around. So that by what, the ninth chapter of the book of Genesis, that God caused a great flood to destroy the wickedness of men. Oh yes, but Enoch walked with God when nobody else did. I said Enoch walked with God in a sinful land, and I cut the tail of. You can walk with God if you're the only one on the job. You can walk with God if you're the only one in the school. You can walk with God if you're the only one in the family. You can walk with God no matter what. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I was there for a long time. I was the only one in my family, Brother Deputy, that served the Lord.
Yeah.
But I keep on serving him, Brother Chuck. I kept on serving him.
Free, yeah.
Woo! He could have abandoned his God and embraced, amen, that paganistic style of worship, but Joseph stayed the course. Hey, he may have been purchased by Potiphar, but he still belonged to God. Did you hear me? Joseph had purposed in his heart that he was always going to do the right thing. Amen. And that is just what he did. Joseph was a man of integrity. Regardless of the situation around him, he still served God. Amen. Listen to me tonight. That's where you determine what kind of Christian you're going to be.
Yeah.
You need to set parameters long before the trial, long before the temptation ever knocks you off your feet. Joseph, Brother George, was already devoted. Joseph was already had a made up mind long before he was sold into slavery. He had a consecrated heart, and when he was in the trial, he already had a predetermined parameter that says, I don't care what the world offers, I'm still going to serve my God. I don't care what sin comes down the pike. I made up my mind that as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. And when the chance to drink beer came along, he turned it down. And when the chance to smoke came along, he turned it down. When the chance to go run with the boys and party came along, he turned it down, because he was consecrated before the trial ever came.
All right. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
You can't wait till the trial
to get devoted.
No, that's right.
You got to be devoted before that.
Come on.
Yeah. Woo!
Yeah.
Brother Tommy, if Joseph hadn't have been consecrated to God when he got down there in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife threw herself at him, hey, man, you know the story.
Yep.
Hey, God. And she said, come in. My master's gone. Why don't you come on in here a while? Uh-huh. Amen. I tell you what he did, Brother Dale. He ran the other way. He already had a predetermined, amen, conviction that when sin comes, I'm not bowing into it. And why do people give in to the temptation? Why do people give in to the battle when it comes? I tell you why they do. They ain't got to pray through before it comes. You pray it through. You get consecrated to God. I'm not going to look at it when the devil shows it to me. Hey, amen, if I come across some bad image on my phone or on the computer, I'm not going to stop and look deeper into it. You've got to have a predetermined conviction. I'm not going to do it. Hey, and the Lord was with Joseph and everything he did prospered because he put God first.
Lord,
come on.
Oh, yes, God.
Amen.
Jesus.
Joseph had purpose in his heart that he was going to do right.
Yes, he did. Glory.
I come to challenge the body of believers here tonight. Have you already purposed in your heart that you're going to do right?
No matter what
comes down the pike.
Come on.
No matter what trouble or trial or temptation is thrown your way, I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm going to do what's right.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I'm preaching to you tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo. Hey, God. You need to establish some boundaries in your life. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Amen. Make up your mind. And when the situation comes, it's not a debate.
Mm-hmm. But it's already predetermined. I'm not going to do that.
It's already conquered.
But George, I'll never forget.
Already conquered.
And college is not for everyone. Some of you have been, some of you haven't. College ain't for everyone. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. I'm not talking about anything else right here.
Yeah.
I had to be a strong Christian to make it through Marshall. I really did, Brother Tommy.
Yeah.
Hey, man, it was a lot. I had people gather around, you know, on breaks. We'd go stand around, talk, you know. Some of them long classes, they give you 15-minute break. I can't remember. And we go stand around, talk, Brother Chuck. And some of them guys said, hey, man, we're going to go out and have some kind of big party this weekend. And they said, this bragging, brother, and we're going to drink beer and have a cake or two and all that stuff. We're going to build a big bonfire. And, man, they really may sound good, but it was not appetizing to me. Because I already had a predetermined boundary.
Right.
I already had a predetermined conviction that I'd never do such a thing.
Come on.
Woo! And when the temptation came, hey, man, you going to go? I said, no way. I got church this weekend. Hey, God, at the time we had church on Friday night. Amen. Two times on Sunday. I said, I ain't got time to lay out and act like a fool. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to the house of God.
Woo!
Oh, yes. Amen. I remember when I was in high school and they had proms and they had all them type of things. Hey, God, I had a predetermined conviction. Amen. That you'd never catch me dancing out there on the worldly rug. Oh, no. I said, I had my mind made up. I already had it in my heart. And I was going to stand for God. Hey, and if you stand for God, he will stand for you. And all that Joseph's hands did was made to prosper because Joseph stood for God.
Yes, he did.
Thank you.
Yes.
Amen. And the Lord, verse number 3 said, made all that Joseph did to prosper in his hand. Some might have looked at Joseph's advancement in Potiphar's house as good luck. Boy, look at all the bad luck that happened to Joseph. He went down, down, down. He went from the pit, Brother Daniel, down, amen, to the slave traders, down to Egypt to be sold into slavery, down, 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 and all of a sudden, great God, amen, he was in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar saw that all that his hand did prosper. Potiphar put him in a place of authority because he saw that the Lord was with him. Amen. And somebody said, boy, his luck turned. Oh, no, his luck didn't turn. I tell you what helped Joseph out. not. Joseph prospered because God blessed him. Joseph prospered because God saw in Joseph a man that he could trust. Amen. To do his will. And if God sees he can trust you, he'll make all that your hand does to prosper.
Yes, he will.
He'll prosper your work. He'll prosper your hand. If God sees he can trust you, amen.
That's the truth. Right.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Woo! Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Just because you're going through the trial and problems don't mean that God's not blessing you.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you hear me?
True.
We go through hard times and we say, man, God, where's the Lord at? I mean, one of the first things that the devil tells us when we're going through a hard time, hard place, hardship in our life, one of the first things God tells us is, you're out of the will of God.
Yeah. Sure.
When it's totally 100% opposite of that.
Yeah. Right.
Most of the time, I'm not saying every time, but a lot of the times, God's in the middle of that trial.
Sure.
To develop you.
Right.
That cocoon, I'm trying to think, that caterpillar. He's got to come out of that cocoon, Brother Anthony. He's got to break his way out of that shell. He's got to come through the struggle.
Yeah.
If he's ever going to fly.
Yeah.
Right. He's got to come through the hardship. Struggle. And right. You've got to do the same thing.
Right.
You've got to come through the hard times. You've got to make it through that cocoon. You've got to make it
That's
through
right.
that shell.
That's right.
If you're ever going to sprout wings and fly. Anyway, so I come to tell you tonight, just because I'm almost done, you're going through the problems and the trials. Don't mean God ain't blessing you.
That's right. That's right.
Number two, Joseph made the best of a terrible situation. You could make the best of the hand that dealt you.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Sure.
I've seen some people, amen, and me and Michelle's had this conversation many times. I mean, really, they're healthy. They're just not healthy up here. They struggle. Amen. With mind battles, they struggle with mental capacity, you know, mentally, and a lot of things. And they lay around all their life and never do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
We sat there at Bob Evans today, and probably nobody saw this but me. We were standing there waiting to get in, and this old fella come walking out of the bathroom. He's all crippled up. He's walking like this. His hands twisted up, Brother Tommy.
Yeah.
And he comes out of the bathroom. And he goes over, and he walked behind the counter. I thought, what in the world? Amen. And he had an apron over. He strapped that apron on while he's walking through Georgia. And he's putting that apron on, and he's going back there as far as I know to cook. He's probably going to cook that raw bacon right now. Woo! But anyway, Brother Tom,
come on.
He could have laid home somewhere.
He could have.
And said, look at what's been dealt my way.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to lay around and not do nothing. I'm all crippled up.
Come on.
But no, he went to work, and he made the best of what he had.
Hey,
and I come to tell you tonight, as long as you lay in that trial, and lay this. Amen. The two grasshoppers out there flying around on the farm, one down on a dairy farm. And they flew in the wrong bucket, Brother Tom. It's a milk bucket.
All right.
And the one looked over to the other and said, boy, we've had it now. How in the world are we ever going to get out of here? And he got so panicked and started breathing so hard, he lost his will, and he succumbed to the milk and drowned there in the milk. And the other grasshopper sitting there thinking, what am I going to do? So he starts turning his legs.
Yeah.
Amen. Starts swimming in that milk. Amen. Until he turned that milk into butter.
Sure.
And he walked out.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, man, this preacher John Bunyan, listen to me. Hey, man, in the 17th century was sent to prison for preaching without a license.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. He spent 12 years of his life in prison. Hey, man, for preaching the word of God. But he just didn't sit in there and let the trial get him bitter. I'm preaching to you tonight. Listen to this preacher. He just didn't sit in there and let the trial make him bitter. He had an old stool
in that prison cell with only three legs. It was a wobbly stool at that. But it took one of the legs off, Brother Anthony, and he carved a flute out of one of them legs. Thank God, and he sat in there and played gospel music and preached the gospel in the prison cell. That hundreds got saved right inside that prison cell. And not only that, Brother George, but in that prison cell, he wrote a book that we know as the Pilgrim's Progress. Hey, the only book of all time that's ever sold more copies than the Pilgrim's Progress is the B-I-B-L-E. Hey, God, he wrote the all-time seller other than God himself, all because in the prison, he said, I'm going to make the best of my trial. I'm not giving up. I'm not getting bitter, but I'm gonna keep on going.
In Ravensbrook death camp operated by the Nazis, a young woman by the name of Corrie Ten Boom was forced to endure the more appalling atrocities that you could imagine and many more that you can't imagine. She was starved, she was beaten, she was threatened. She was forced to live with lice and fleas and rats. She witnessed the death of her own younger sister. Listen to me. Her sister sat beside her. We read the book. Michelle used to have the audio book. We read that. We listened to that whole book. Her sister, every day, she seen her get weaker and weaker because her sister starved to death and got sick and starved to death. Oh, God. If that had been me, I'd have got bitter. If that had been you, you'd have probably got bitter. Amen. Oh, she saw thousands of Jews and Jews, amen, sympathizers leave that place through the smokestacks and the crematories. She saw thousands get gassed in the chambers. Surely she could, amen, she could not understand why she, along with thousands, millions later we find, was forced to endure such hardship and such agony. But Corrie Ten Boom, inmate number 66730, determined in her heart that while she was there, she would be the best Christian that she could be. And in barracks number 28, she started a Bible study and helped many others make it through those difficult years. And eventually, she won her freedom. Hey, God, many, amen, might have become bittered because of this experience. But even after her release, Corrie Ten Boom traveled the world, spreading the gospel of love and of Jesus Christ, and won literally thousands to the Lord.
All right.
Yes, Lord. Free.
And in one of her preaching endeavors, amen, Brother George, she was up there speaking to a large crowd. And she looked back there, amen, and saw those cold eyes that she had seen hundreds of times. Amen. Back there stood one of those Nazi German soldiers that had, amen, forced her to do horrible things. Amen, in them camps. And as she began to speak about the love of Christ, amen, to that large crowd, how that Jesus could save whoever, she felt this hateful, hard, bitter spirit to this cold-eyed man standing over there in the corner. And by the time she gave that invitation, she said only God himself could have done it. But that fellow stood up, amen, and asked for forgiveness, and he wanted the Lord to save him. And she was able to hug that rascal's neck, amen, and pray with him, and went into the Lord after he had put her through so much torture. I come to tell you, it's what you make of the trial. It's what you make of the battle. How you going to come out in the end?
Hallelujah.
God prospered all that Joseph did. Number three. Amen. Verse number four. He promoted him, and Joseph found grace in his sight.
Amen.
He served him and he made him overseer over all his house. So now not only did God protect him, God prospered him, and now, amen, he promoted him and he put him overseer over all the house. Hallelujah. I come to tell you tonight, how you act in the trial, how you act in the hard place, will determine how God uses you in the future.
If you get hateful and bitter and hard-hearted over the trial, God can't use you next time. He's going to put you back to another level of that.
Yes.
True.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
Potiphar saw that the hand of God was upon the life of Joseph, and he knew something special was in this Hebrew slave. And he watched Joseph work, and he saw the results of his work. And Potiphar, amen, saw that everything Joseph touched turned to gold. And Potiphar promoted Joseph and made him overseer of his whole house. That means give, amen, that we are to give our best even in the worst of conditions.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, yeah. I got a bunch more from verses that I was going to read to you. Amen. How that we're supposed to give our best even in our worst. Amen. That's right. If you're on a job somewhere, give it your best. I always was taught that. I remember Brother Tommy talked about them hard years there at the end when the company down there turned sour and they said, if this horse don't want to work, we'll find one that does. Amen. But I tell you what you do, you smile when you don't feel like smiling, and you still go in there and give it your best.
Right.
I tell you what, you keep on keeping on. Amen.
Yes.
Hey, God. Amen. Oh, yes. The Bible said, servants, amen, obey them that have the rule over you. Great God. And like Queen Joseph kept on rising to the top, even Potiphar, that pagan, amen, Egyptian, saw something different about Joseph. Amen.
Right.
Yes.
Stand with me in this house. I'm done.
Oh, thank you.
The lives we live should be so different from the world around us. Potiphar could see that Joseph's life, Brother George, was different.
Amen.
Somebody ought to see that your life's different.
Amen.
Somebody ought to see that you ain't just like everybody else.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Luke says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much.
Yeah. Yeah.
He that is unjust in least is also unjust in much. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
When we bloom where we planted, when we serve the Lord with integrity right where we are, we'll open up a new avenue and a new, amen, way of service for the Lord. God, can God trust you where you are? Can God bless you and help you right where you are?
That's good.
You always got that one says, if I had this and I had that, I could do this for God. No, you got to do it right where you are before you're ready to come.
Yeah.
That's
true.
That's right.
Preacher says, if I had that big church down there, I could really give them all. You ought to be able to give it your all if you only pitch it to two or three.
Right. That's right. Ooh, that's sir. Right.
But Tommy, right. We've been there, ain't we? Yeah, preaching on the streets.
Yep.
Preaching on the corners.
Phew.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Give it your all, no matter what.
Jesus.
Amen. God used the sorrows of Joseph's life to shape him to the man that God wanted him to become.
Thank God. Thank God.
Trial Joseph faced and the trials you and I face are never easy, but they are to mold us and to make us into the people God wants. Not who we want to be, but who God wants us to be.
Amen.
Our trials make us useful for the Lord, and we should never seek to shun the trials of life. Listen, in shunning the trial, we are also shunning the best of God's blessings in our life. God's going to bless us in, through, and with the trial. That's how he's going to bless you.
That's the truth, yeah.
It's doubtful did God ever use anyone greatly, A.W. Tozer said, without first hurting him deeply. God's going to hurt you before he raises you up.
Praise God. Praise God.
Somebody help me up here on this pen. I'm done.
Thank you, Lord.
A little poem I read I liked. I walked a mile with pleasure.
Yeah.
And she chattered all the way.
Yes.
But left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow. And never a word she said, but oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me.
Yeah.
We want to be used, but we don't want to have a heartache. We want to be used, but we don't want to go through the struggle. I'm afraid that we cannot have, amen, what God wants us to have without going through the struggle. Look at the life of Joseph, Brother Tommy, at the heartache that he must have faced. Look at the sleepless nights, Brother George, amen, that Joseph must have suffered, thinking about, where's my mom? Where in the world am I even at? 17-year-old boy took from his home, snatched by slave traders, sold into slavery. Maybe in many nights he thought, how in the world, why in the world am I even here at this place?
Yes, Lord.
But he kept on serving God. And God had to break Joseph's heart.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
To make him a great man.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
All the struggle and hardship Joseph went through. This might be a message for another time. I might follow this up, Brother George, but God turned it around real quick. Down, down, down.
Yeah.
His brothers hated him. Down in the pit, down into slavery, down into Egypt, down sold in the slave house. God finally raised him up Potiphar's house. And then you know the story. I didn't have time to get into all that. Then Potiphar's wife accuses him of infidelity, and he runs out and leaves his coat there. But he got away with his character.
Yeah,
he lost his coat, but he still had his character. And so anyway, Potiphar believed his wife and throwed him in the dungeon. And for a long time he was down there. Down, 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 down. Joseph's life just kept going down. But when God got ready,
that's right.
Yeah.
He raised him.
Well, glory.
Can you imagine one night being in the dungeon? And the next day he was sitting up there, not this time in Potiphar's house, but in Pharaoh's house.
That's right.
The man that was in command of all the land, and God raised him up, and there he sat in Pharaoh's house. And he said, Joseph, I'm going to let you rule all the land.
Yep.
After he interpreted the dream, 7 good years. And he said, we've got to store up for the 7 good years because there'll be 7 bad years to come. Amen. And Pharaoh said, you're going to store up. And then Joseph store up. And he saved starvation from many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. That he saved the world, probably.
Yeah.
God raised him up.
Amen.
Why did God raise him up? How he went through the trial.
Glory, glory. Thank you.
Amen.
I preach to you in my heart tonight. I'm pouring a sweat. My voice is hoarse. Brother John, I come to tell us tonight how we treat the trial is how God's going to treat us in the future. Glory to God. Bow your head with me right here, Lord, as these people's about to gather in here to pray. I believe there's some people been going through a trial, Lord. I believe there's some people been going through a hard time. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us be faithful in this trial. Help us, Lord, to realize, amen, that I've got to make it through this trial. And if I do, Lord, you're molding me and making me to be the better man, the better woman I need to be. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Who'd be the first one to step out here tonight? Say, Brother Jason, I need the Lord to help me in this trial. I want to prove faithful. I want to prove faithful to the Lord. God, you can depend on me, Lord. Come on, come on, come on. God's going. He wants to trust you. Can God trust you? Can God trust you?
Blessed God.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, God. Can he trust you in the trials?
Into a valley like I've never seen before. Keep searching for a way out. Seems like padlocks are on the door. Every child of God is his test. He must fail. It is here that God must. this child a blessing. Though he sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. Make this trial a blessing.
sing.